My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so alone, I forgot. You could find with Christ. You wanna change the world, but you don't know where you should start. But you can't give your all unless you let God inside your heart.
Hey, good morning, Patriots. And it's Monday, April 1st, and I don't do the April Fool's thing. It's nonsense. Just so, if you think there's going to be something slid in here today, it'd be like, nope, don't do it, don't play it. Kind of all just kind of a ridiculous little thing people do. Though I think there may be something more profound to that, which is there has been some discussion that April 1st may be closer to the original New Year. And so the idea of April Fools has to do with the fooling that was put upon us in accepting that the 31st of December was the end of the year. That may be true, because the shifting from a solar calendar to a solar calendar from a lunar calendar, as it used to be, made a tremendous amount of shifts, and we lost a month. So way it goes, we're supposed to have 13 months, as I understand. And that's a pretty interesting study when you get into it, by the way. But anyway, we're not doing foolishness here today. But we will start with MyPillow, because that's a good one to start with. They've got a $25 extravaganza going on right now. It's what they're calling $25 extravaganza. And so basically what this is a recognition and celebration of all the amazing things that they've been able to do by breaking away from box stores and no longer having to rely on them and now relying on Patriots instead. So what this is is celebrating where MyPillow was and where what it began. Because it originally has a company that was a one problem, one solution company, just providing pillows. And since then, they've added hundreds of products. So they want people to start looking beyond that, which is understandable because there's a lot of good things there. I can speak to that because of all the things I've had there. They even have some really cool constitutional prints, by the way, if you dig into their site. Pretty cool stuff. So basically, a two-pack multi-use MyPillow is just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. There's a six-pack of towel sets, $25. They have a brand new four-pack of dish towel sets, and there it is, $25. So for the first time ever, the premium MyPillow with all the new Giza fabric. Oh yeah, that's a nice one. And any size and loft and big fluffy pillow, the king size is just $25. So it's a great offer. And all you have to do is use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. All those information is always below the podcast. MyPillow has been an amazing supporter of the nation's fight for liberty and Mike has put literally everything that has been given to him on the line for this fight and time. And I think that's one of the most notable things ever is to see a CEO willing to sacrifice his company, which is essentially what Mike has done, and stand up and fight for liberty and hold to that line, which is pretty profound, which is an important point to make because one of the things that came up over this last few days, which, as you know very well, we had the Biden transgender turn everything into a insane, ludicrous concept of transgenderism for the weekend, which there was an interesting piece sent over to me from an artificial intelligence program that it was, they asked, what is the purpose of this transgender movement over the weekend of Easter? And the AI, which is probably like OpenAI or one of those, ChatGPT, which I don't use. But apparently the response was to convert the world to Satanism, which is no surprise. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised. And the only way it will convert is if people willfully participate in it. But here's what's interesting. In 1956, on this weekend, which we're moving now, I think appropriately, the name Resurrection Weekend rather than Easter. Remember, Easter is from Ishtar. And Ishtar, the celebration of Ishtar, was the goddess of Ishtar, which is the goddess of fertility. And the way that that process was is that they would, the 70 virgins would be impregnated on the first year. And this would repeat, right? So the next year, those babies would be sacrificed. And then the eggs would be dipped in the blood of the babies. That's where the painting of the eggs comes from. So in 1956 in New York, all of the buildings were lit with, or the main tall skyscrapers were lit with, their lights were lit up so that it was a cross to celebrate the weekend of the resurrection. This weekend, the governor of New York issued a mandate stating that we had to, or the companies had to, light their buildings up. And this was from Governor Hochul, orders World Trade Center New York landmarks to lit up in trans flag colors on Easter Sunday. Now, why I bring this up is, I'm going to go back to MyPillow a minute. Mike has held steadfast to his love in Christ and the Christian values and the fight for a country that has integrity and election to reset the election back to 2020. The only way these buildings in New York would be able to be lit up with trans flags on that weekend is if the CEOs themselves were in alliance with the devious thinking of Governor Hochul, whatever her name is. So, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. And to be honest, I'm not going to make a lot of effort to pronounce it right because I can't stand her. Anyway, the point is that you have to have compliance. Governors sit in seats and we build up these authoritative ideas in our head. That's like, oh, the governor said, just like this article headline is, and this comes from Steve Bannon's The War Room. She orders World Trade Center New York landmarks lit up in trans flag colors on Easter Sunday. If she ordered Wall Street not to go to work, they would not listen. If she ordered that Wall Street would cease trading on biochemical or biomedical industry, they would not listen. But she's ordered building owners to change their light structure, and they have, and they complied. And if they had, and if they had defied and she had tried to fine them, they could have taken it to court and won. But they don't want to. And so it's important to understand the corruption level that we're dealing with here, is that in the boardrooms and in the CEO seats and the ownership seats and the funding areas, which includes your leveraged loans from banks and from capital brokers like BlackRock, Blackstone, State Street, Vanguard, they're all in on this agenda. And this agenda is to force a nation into a satanic, open and satanic position, which is their ritual belief. And that's, so none of this is without precedence. And none of us is without the idea of thinking that somehow this is just magically happening because of a bunch of bad politicians. It's, everything's happening. And it's all, we're going to take our roots back to a couple of key players. And one of those players is Israel at the current moment. And the other player is Ukraine. And those two things come up pretty heavily in the news. Here's an interesting piece here, which is worth noting, is that X, formerly Twitter, will begin to have users verify their identity by having them submit a selfie alongside of a government-issued ID. PayPal has already started this. The process requires users to consent to X storing their information for 30 days and sharing it with AU10TIX, an identity verification company based in Israel. Well, this is what's interesting, is when you do verify that, AU10TIX, formerly a technology arm of ICTS Internet Informational, is an identity verification company based in Hod HaSharon, Israel. Why this is, it's a privately held company, by the way, which means that you don't get to see who's on the board of directors or who's investing in it. They call it a multi-channel ID document authentication and record generation service. The word is, according to what's going on out here in the world of sacrificing heifers, that the idea is to create the third temple and place the global international or global AI artificial intelligence system in the temple, and that it will itself become the new Antichrist. That's the scuttlebutt that's going around that I don't think is too far from the truth. And so now if you're on X, be prepared to have to verify this and give your ID to the new Antichrist rising up in Israel, which I'm sure is going to work out well for everybody. Speaking of Israel, here's some more things coming out about Kennedy and Mossad. Take a listen.
Very surprising series of letters between Kennedy and David Ben-Gurion, not only the prime minister, premier of Israel, but the founder of Israel, in which they're very angry letters, in which Kennedy is saying to Ben-Gurion, I'm killing myself trying to get a nuclear test ban treaty. I've even got De Gaulle on board, and that's impossible. And you keep testing in Dimona. You've got to stop. And Ben-Gurion, thank you, in so many words says, it's easy for you to say sitting in Hyannisport. I'm sitting with the Arabs all around me, and you want me to give up nuclear testing. And Kennedy threatens him. And he threatens him in such a way that Ben-Gurion resigns. Forget Lyndon Johnson, forget the CIA, forget Fidel Castro. The Mossad killed Kennedy because they were so upset over what he did to Ben-Gurion.
These are going to be the harder truths for people to accept. And if you think about how masterful this was done, you have a large percentage of the pulpits in our nation still protecting Israel and even going so far as to promote the destruction of Palestinians to protect the cherished class of Gazarian Jews that are themselves were behind one of the most heinous crimes in our history, which was the murder of our president. It is so disgusting how this has happened. But I want you to hear this piece. The justification for the mentality of this group of people is getting darker by the day as we learn more about how they think. This is a bizarre discussion, and I'll just read the post. This post comes from Nicole Nanya, and it says, babies aren't civilians. by a Jewish rabbi. And he does get into this. And we'll play part of this. It's a long clip, and it draws out quite a bit. But there's part of that in there. The U.S. pact with Israel will be its downfall. And the Israel Zionism, not the Arabs, not the Muslims, not Russians or Chinese, will and already has destroyed the United States. Other nations do not censor the media like USA does to keep Americans complicit. I never want to hear about Hitler again. That's for sure. Israel ISIS, a Middle Eastern terror cell with dual citizenship to move in and out freely, terrorizing the world. A nasty Rothschild scheme. Take a listen to this interview. This is with a rabbi and two other Jewish interviewers.
No, you're not allowed to kill a civilian. What's a civilian? Someone who surrenders. Guy surrenders to you, you're not allowed to kill him. Why? Mm. He's not a threat anymore. Why should you kill him? But if he didn't surrender, what makes him a civilian? What makes him a non-threat? Because he's not wearing a uniform.
It would sound like you're saying there are kind of no civilians in the situation.
No, what I'm saying is it's not your responsibility
to
identify who your enemy's civilians are. They have to identify themselves, then you don't kill them.
So you're saying according to Allah, a civilian...
They have to self-identify by surrendering.
A civilian is someone who surrenders.
Well, or some other way of identifying, but...
Like when they cross...
I have to vet you and figure out that I'm busy shooting at you. And I have to figure out whether you're a civilian?
Well, when the Israelis opened up a passageway for Gazans to get from northern to southern, they were walking with a white flag. They weren't shot at.
Mm-hmm. So there are two things, actually. If he surrenders or if he's leaving, just wants to leave the country. If he wants to leave the country, he's not a threat. But the point of it all boils down to he's a civilian if he hasn't shot you yet. That makes him a civilian? What are you eliminating here? People who shoot at you? No, you're eliminating people who might shoot at you. You're eliminating a threat. You don't want to live under a threat. So before they shoot at you, they're already not civilians. If they're coming to shoot.
Right? How do you know if someone's going to become a threat or not?
That's right. And it's not your responsibility to figure that out.
It's their responsibility to choose whether they're a civilian or not, you're saying.
And identify themselves. Yeah. Even their babies. Somebody has to identify the babies as non-militant.
Well, what's
they're
a
not being used as bait.
So you're saying a human shield is not a civilian.
That's right. The tool of war.
So babies are now a tool of war, according to this rabbi. And not only are they a tool of war, the ROEs basically that they're advocating are that unless you surrender, you are a potential future threat. This gets into future crimes, which is one of the darkest elements of any of this new order. And what that means is Israel has a right to eradicate a race of people if it so chooses, based on the fact that they did not surrender, and they have a right to annihilate any children if their parents don't proclaim them as being non-combatants and not a future combatant and somehow ensure that they are never going to be a threat to Israel. But that also means that if the child is exposed to the murder of their parents, then because the child can't speak, they're therefore subject to the death of Israel by any Israeli soldiers because the child isn't proclaiming itself to be surrendering or a non-combatant in the war. This is the lunacy that's settled in with this cult. And it's what our pulpits are defending. And it's one thing that will, as we say, nations shall be judged. We shall be judged for the crimes against the little ones if this continues. There's no question about that. This is a really dark era in our history and one in which we have to start coming to grips with. And that goes along with Ukraine. Here's a headline, new evidence emerges. And you've heard me talk about this before, so this is not new here, but it's coming out now finally in mainstream media, or I should say more of the media stream. I wouldn't call it mainstream. New evidence emerges of Ukraine's horrific forced fertilization program inspired by Nazi Lebensborn. At least 50 reproductive clinics across central and western Ukraine have reportedly been converted into forced insemination labs. One key goal is allegedly creating an army of ethnically pure Ukraine descendants from men proven in combat. The former SBU officer says Ukraine also initiated a Nation of Heroes scheme in 2023, offering soldiers a chance to cryogenically bank their sperm indefinitely for free. Another alleged highly placed Ukraine security official claims Zelensky personally signed a decree in April 2023 legally launching the forced insemination program. The initiators included Zelensky, his chief of staff, Andriy Yermak, and SBU head, Valsi Melyuk. This follows after the other clinics that they had there, which were set up for adoption. It was a money trafficking scheme of a phenomenal level, to where they were creating forced birthing clinics and through their orphanages, offering, filling their orphanages and allowing the world to adopt their children without any restrictions on national relationship. This is one of the few countries, if not the only country, as I recall, in Europe at the time that did not require people to be a citizen of the EU. In fact, no citizenship was required even of Ukraine. This was a question that this goes back about 3 or 4 years when I did this research, when I started asking the question of why were Ukraine's orphanages so full? And it was an obvious one in our face and no one was asking. And when you follow that rabbit trail, you discovered a couple of very critical things. One, lawyers that were associated with adoption were also tied to the Clinton Foundation. And that a large percentage of the people adopting were gay and lesbian people adopting from Ukraine. That was another large part of their market. And that there was a German organization that was running these birthing clinics, as it ultimately came out a bit later, that was ending up filling a lot of these orphanages. I mean, it's a simple question we should be asking when you have children, even now. And I don't think we ask these questions enough. Where are these children that are coming across our border coming from? We say that there's 400,000 children missing. Where I want to know is, where's the 400,000 parents? And we're not seeing that connection, which leads me to believe, and I cannot prove this yet, but it leads me to believe that what we're witnessing is the exodus, not only of the criminal class within the jail system that they're pushing on across our border, and we're watching crime fall in South and Central America as crime increases here, but I believe that we will likely discover that there's a large operation going on down there in forced birthing clinics that are pushing these children into the States for the sole purpose of being the new class of slaves here in this country. That's what our open border is allowing. Even if you just say they're allowing kids across the border, it's an unbelievable crime. And that includes every single person that allows that to happen, whether you're a border agent, whether you're a flight attendant that's escorting these kids on planes, whether you're a TSA agent complying with the laws or the rules, they're not laws. These are legislative laws that have been put in place to literally open up our country for the massive child sex trafficking operation ever in history. And the question we are not asking is, where are the parents? It's a similar question I ask with COVID many times. We understand that there are deaths, but where's the mourning families? Some of it is out there, but there's been a large percentage of people that were just erased, and we heard nothing about funerals. They were not in the obituaries, not that we could find, and there was nothing other than numbers and statistics that were stuck on a board. I'm not saying there weren't deaths in COVID. I'm asking a simple question. Where were the families? And we're not connecting these things. We've worked in a society now where we've become so accepting that families are broken, that people are alone, that deaths simply go by us like no big deal. You take elderly as a great example of this, and the elderly literally are cast off into these homes. And so when they die, we don't question it. We don't question anything about this. We had a friend recently, his funeral actually was over the weekend, and he was in his, he was 70s or 82, I believe. I think it was his age, maybe 79. It was in that range. He died of turbo cancer. I know he took every one of the shots, but no one's even questioning this. They're just like, well, he had a good life. And it's like, okay, well, that's, I'm glad he had a good life. And he was by a guy that mentored me into hunting. But at the same time, we're not asking those questions because of the target class that injection, that death shot went after. Because it wasn't COVID under the title of COVID con, but he had taken the vax, which now is in a license to kill. He dies of a turbo cancer. And in that sense, then it's just like, well, he's just old and he's had a good life. We have a really skewed sense of humanity and life in our nation. And we've become very deadened to the importance and the value of life as a whole. As much of that comes from the mainstreaming of abortion. It comes from the acceptance of our children are not precious anymore. They're simply subject to a world that's imperfect and they themselves are imperfect. So I'm going to march them to the altars of Baal and Moloch to have them mutilated and have their genders changed. We are dealing with elderly that are no longer in our homes. I mean, at this point in time, this is probably going to offend some people, but I'm sorry if it does. I'm not sorry. We have a responsibility to our parents. And even if it is a difficult relationship, we have a responsibility to our parents. And when we've come to a societal place where it is accepting to allow them to live on their own and die on their own, and the moral justification of that is, well, they're in a home, they're nearby, I go visit them once in a while. That is not the same as living together to take care of them to the end. And when we've come to a value place where the sending them out to outsource care has become the new norm, this is where we as a society have become to devalue life in a precious way. Those are the people that brought us into this world, and we're going to cast them away and let them die on their own. We're going to pray today for Corey Terry and Yopar, his wife's father, this today at the end. But I want to point this out. Her father has some medical issues. He's having some difficult times, and they flew over to Romania and to tend to him, and he's living at home, and the family over there is taking care of him. They're, and he's in a wheelchair, and they tend to him. There's no home for him to go to. I mean, this is an old, and I say this because in the Romanian way, there's an old school way of thinking. Here, we don't have that. And as we've so mainstreamed the idea of devaluation of life that we've come to this very difficult place where we are now having to face the consequences of that as a culture. And so COVID was a great example. To me, it was, as we talk about the deaths, what we're really not looking at is the willingness to let a state dictate the destiny of our relationship with our parents and our children. And that's really the goal or the victory of COVID-Con. When we look at that, we look at those pictures, and if you take time to go back and look at pictures of COVID-Con and that horrific period of this nonsense of people accepting the fact that you couldn't touch your parent, you couldn't visit your parents in the home. They were in prison. And parents touching each other through glass, which isn't even touching, it's nonsense. Or people kissing each other through plastic. Some of this may have been staged to try to promote a behavior. I don't question that. But there were those that actually did this. I mark those people as some of the greatest fools and idiots of our time. Because they went along with a lie that truly said it was worth sacrificing your relationship with your parents more than standing up for what was right and bringing them home. They believed the lie so much that there were many elderly that died alone. And then we have to get into that whole criminality of how so many elderly in certain concentrations died, which we know from evidence already coming out that many of them were executed. They were given specific drugs to kill them off and categorize them in terms of COVID deaths. We know this. And that came out from the UK, and it's coming out here. So all of that because we turned our parents over to the state. That goes to the death panels in Obama's medical care bill that is now still on the books. See, and this is where, as a society, we have to start facing these harsh crimes. We look always to the kids, as we should, in understanding the preciousness of that, but we don't give enough value to our elderly and what it requires to take care of them. And it's always so much the same thing. It's like, well, it's difficult. Well, yeah, it was difficult raising us too. You know, and this is part of our cycle of life that we just don't have here, which is pretty sick, in my opinion. COVID con is a dark issue, and it is an agenda that we continue to have to face. This is a piece here that leaves with a really heavy tone to it. I don't agree with. This is from a nun. She calls out the Pope as part of this global depopulation agenda. It's worth listening to, keeping in mind that at the end, this is what I will say, is keep in mind at the end my words to her, and I'll say it at the end as well. You need more Jesus. But here you go.
What I think is going on, this is my summary, but it's not my invention. This is the news, is that the group of globalists, everyone involved in this new reset, global economy, one world order, all of that, anywhere, and enforcing the jab, the COVID vaccine, which is a pathological weapon to destroy our body. That's what it is. And if you haven't felt it, if you've taken the COVID vaccine, you haven't, you feel just fine. That is working in your body to destroy it. There's an article today on LifeSite News by, I think it's a Dr. McCullough. I have to look it up. Who explains exactly what happens with those vaccines. And what I've gathered from all the reports is that the Soros, George Soros's of the world, the Bill Gates, everybody involved in this reset, so to speak, and the Holy Father is their spiritual leader. I don't hesitate to say it because I'm not revealing anything that hasn't been all over the news and the Vatican and every place else. Is that they want to control the world population, completely have us under their control. The world population is too big. And so this COVID vaccine has been invented to eliminate us, to kill off a great percentage of the population, so that what's left, they have a reasonable hope. I hate to use those words of Bishop Barron, a reasonable hope of killing and controlling the rest of us. So I don't think such a horror book has ever been written, horror novel has ever been written, but it's true.
It is true, except that with this, we know that there's a massive awakening happening that's keeping this at not only at bay, but we're seeing God move in big ways. But the agenda was clear. The agenda has always been clear, that once we started to see what was going on, that the attempt was to annihilate a good chunk of humanity and to make that, and she says the key words, so that we will be able to be controlled. There's too many of us for them to control us for the agendas which they want, and therefore, it was necessary, has been necessary, to continue to try to annihilate the numbers in humanity. And we also know that the numbers that they talk about, if there's too many people in the world, that has nothing to do with the reality of this, of the globe. It has to do with their rule and their order. There's too many people for them to have the power that they want to rule. Now, one benefit and outcome of the COVID con, which is starting to show up well, and this is a survey from February 28, 2024, is that the opposition to the vaccine of parents grows, and that continues to grow at a significant rate. 17% of parents are now against vaccines and vaccinating their children, and 38% are now against mandatory vaccines in schools. That's a huge shift and one of the great examples of what is going on. But the real question, and when we get into this and we start to look at, again, this EUA, Emergency Use Authorization, which was forced through with Operation Warp Speed, and that has been the saving grace in all of this. As much as I have railed and will continue to rail against the endorsement of the vaccine anyway, including what President Trump has said. The fact of the matter is, what saved America was the fact that this vaccine was brought to the market as a EUA. They could not mandate it, which is what their goal was, under an FDA approval. The question is really, what does the FDA really do? And we really haven't paid a lot of attention to that part of the equation. We've talked about FDA in terms of drug approval, but what else, when it says Federal Drug Administration, what are their authorities and what types of things can they keep safe on the market? Take a listen to this bizarre conversation, which kind of gives a whole insight into a greater insight into what the FDA is not, and really starts to, we start to understand that what the FDA really is a arm of the big pharma to justify their poisoning of the people. Take a listen.
The FDA's authority over the safety of baby lotion. First, can the FDA require a review of baby lotion for safety before it comes to market?
No.
Can the FDA require the manufacturer not to use a toxic ingredient, for example, formaldehyde, in its baby lotion?
No.
Is the manufacturer required to register with the FDA before selling its baby lotion?
No.
My first statement is becoming truer. Once the baby lotion comes to market, can the FDA require safety information about the baby lotion?
No.
If the baby lotion has caused bad reactions in the babies, can the FDA require a recall?
No.
If the manufacturer is aware of the baby's bad reactions, would the manufacturer be required to report that to the FDA?
No.
Well, I think everybody's paying rapt attention here. I think empower the FDA to do more to protect Americans. I mean, given all the no's that you just answered, I think we have a real problem on our hands.
We do have a real problem on our hands. It's not giving the FDA more power. It's the fact that they were never designed to do any sort of protection other than to literally give approval for drugs for big pharma and then to give them the umbrella protection, which came out of the Act of 1988. Which indemnified pharmaceutical companies from being sued in case of failure of drugs. Remember, the government took, under the Act of 1988, the government took authority and responsibility for failures of drugs. And the failures of drugs have been immense, but the government doesn't want to touch that because it would literally bankrupt their system. That's the whole issue of the COVID con at its very core. So we're in a very interesting moment here. And I want you to hear this piece because, as you know, coming up on April 8th, CERN is kicking in. And there's a comment made here that has been alerting, kind of getting my attention up. And the question really is, what are these people so panicked about? We had to go back to Agenda 2021, which was the first, that then got moved to Agenda 2030. The goals now have been moved back to Agenda 2025 with a secondary goal of 2028 and a long-term goal of 2050. So the real question here is, what has been happening to cause all this disruption? And part of it is that people are waking up. But there's an urgency on the part of the elites to do a couple of things. They're trying to escape Earth, which would be all your private rocket companies trying to find a way out, which apparently it's not working. We have the need for the elites to build bunkers and to flee the country or to get deep underground. And we have now an issue with CERN, which is the whole debate of them trying to change time. Take a listen.
Actually, CERN is dealing with radionuclear research. But it is more than that, because there are lots of physicians. I know some. They're doing very strange experimentation. There are beings from portals coming in and out. It's physicists from the CERN who told me this.
They've testified to beings coming in and out of portals.
Yes. They have apparently in the bottom of the CERN this portal, this door where they are dealing with all the subatomic dimensions. They say there are 17 different dimensions of reality. That's what those physicists say. Some others say there are more dimensions, you know. And now when you look at what is going on in the CERN, there is a fight from some of the military agencies, intel, they say that there is a fight on time. They're trying to change time.
When you hear these things, you just have to ask why. And it's not a simple like, oh, it's just because. It's there is something they are deeply afraid of. There's a report that goes back, and I've always given it very cautious look because it deals with supposed alien technologies. It deals with the concept of prism, and it deals with the concept of the looking glass. But it's interesting in those that came out to disclose that they said we were entering into where a point where all timelines would converge. This I'm not planning to question or challenge anybody's beliefs or push this off as a correct perspective, but I do want to highlight this. There is a panic that is existing in the elites right now that's very obvious. They are extremely concerned about something coming, and we're not. And their thinking, I believe, is that they think that if they can hide and they can get themselves in a safe place, that we will be sacrificed, or at least that's their hope. And that seems to be the push because of the push for bunkers and the push for timing, changing time, and the issue of trying to get rid of God. They're on an absolute rush to get somewhere. And the question is why? And I think we can pretty much start to assess that whatever is coming is not in their benefit. It's a judgment of fashion that they somehow seem to be very attuned to that is coming. And I know that we hear a lot and we talk about this. Christ is coming. I'm not denying those sorts of perspectives. But what I'm saying is we say this with an optimism and a security in our faith. They are acting as a knowing and a panic of something that is coming. And it's important to keep that perspective because they don't have power. They've lost their power now, whatever it is, and they are in sheer panic. And it may not be any of the things that we think. It is very possible, some of these discussions on April 8th, which I find continuing to fascinate me, of all the people that are in the state of promoting panic for April 8th and fear. Beware of travel. Don't go here. Don't go there. Don't travel outside your home. Don't travel within 15 minutes. There are major influencers speaking this right now. And then when the comments come up and they say, you're speaking in fear, they're like, no, I'm not. I'm not speaking in fear. I'm speaking in reasonable thinking. No, it's fear-driven. Because if you don't have any fear, it's just like Meshach and Abednego. You're going to walk into the fire and not worry about it. Because God's got you. And that's the important piece about all this time that we're in, is that as we're walking without fear, we're literally not of this world. We're walking in Him. And it's important to keep that perspective. So, I mean, we have a bridge that apparently in Kansas, as I believe it was today, that has been hit by a barge, and it's partially collapsed. We have the Baltimore issue of a barge. We have other issues of barges that are causing damage. We have fire. We had a fire in Ohio near the Baltimore time that shut down a bridge. And so the justification is, which is true, the infrastructure is collapsing, so don't go anywhere because you might get stuck. Well, if you go somewhere and you get stuck, unquote, unquote, apparently God wants you there. That's a completely different position, but that's not how many people are taking this. So that my encouragement is just to continue to walk without fear, because we're at a point right now where many, many things are collapsing and many issues are changing. This infrastructure is falling apart and there's massive changes in our ecosystem. But the pathway ahead for these people is one that is everything that they had planned is falling apart. One indication of this is their solar plans. They had a solar field in Texas that has now been ruined by hail. I believe truly, and I take this back to when I was doing a lot of my research on infrastructure and vulnerability for the domestic threats back in 2012, working at Asymmetric Warfare Group in Fort Meade. One of the things that became very clear is that they were setting the world, this country, up for massive systemic failure, building big business with energy, shifting priorities from fossil fuels over to a digital control-based microprocessor-based energy, which is the solar systems, the wind, that sort of generation, which they call green, which is anything but. But the vulnerabilities of those systems are extreme. Weather situations, change in solar output, winds, all of these things affect that sort of weather production. And the ultimate goal was to eradicate the ability for Americans to use farmland and ultimately become dependent, as we see now, on vertical agriculture, the high-density cities. But if the weather as a whole begins to spin out of control, none of these systems can be hidden anymore. they can't even get one off the ground without people now finally beginning to question of like, what's the, how are we going to ensure that when you take up 5,000 acres in the Midwest, or their goal is to do something like 20 million acres to consume that with a solar farm, how are we going to ensure that it won't be damaged? Well, they can't, because these events that are happening at such a rapid rate that these are things beyond their physical control, obviously, because if they weren't, then they wouldn't be so panicked. They want these media, this is their big issue of controlling the media. And again, it goes back to those centralized agents that have literally infiltrated and taken over key aspects of our country to lead us down a pathway that we are, again, the key aspect of the Luciferian model is influence people so they use their free will to choose him, not God, to choose the father of lies, not our true father. That is the goal that they always want to do, to manipulate us into the crime. And that's where you go to abortion, you can go to transgenderism, you can go to the mutilation surgeries, you can go to casting off our parents into the death camps at homes and walking away from our responsibilities. We've done all this based on a central point of me, and the power of the me and the I becomes so significant in our modern culture that quite literally we're living against God when we do that. And that is their that is how they see it as their victory. All of that is easily changed through repentance and then the behavioral change that it requires with that. But it takes significant shifts that they realize that most will not do or want to make, and so they continue down their merry road. That leaves us in a very interesting point right now, which is a point where we're literally living in two worlds. Had a very interesting discussion yesterday with my parents about our neighbor. And it's literally like watching parallel universes coexist. And I'm not exaggerating about this. We live in their house, and where I have their house down there is a very nice urban setting. The lots are about a quarter of an acre to a half an acre. And we have a very productive small homestead situation there, what I call urban homestead. We are among a few neighbors that have the same thing. Our neighbor exactly across the street, they're a good family. Kids are good kids. Tons of time playing video games, father included. But there's no sense at all of anything coming. You can see the two worlds almost collide. Their neighbor next to them is a good friend of ours. They're just like us. They have chickens. They grow their own food. We're the same, other than the chickens. I got the chickens up at the ranch. Okay. So this neighbor has an obsession with cars, and he has now six vehicles in a small urban setting, two trucks. One is a brand new Dodge Ram. And I'm not making any judgment on what you buy. I could care less. It's the whole process. And this is what they were commenting on. They're like, they were saying that here they were sitting having coffee, my parents, after coming out of the garden, and they're looking across the street watching all of his buddies are standing around, you know, drinking whatever they're drinking, admiring his new truck. And my comment was, I said, isn't that amazing? I said, here you have them focused, these guys all trying to be guys as they're looking at a new truck while we've got people rushing across the border and the cartel trying to smuggle American kids outside the nation. That's really happening. We are living in two different worlds right now. We're living in a bifurcated world where literally two different realities coexist. And in that coexisting of realities, where we live in the awakening, the world looks very different. We are literally not of this world, where other people are entrenched in the world. Their satisfaction, their glory, everything about it is anchored in the material and what they make, what they do, their job, the games that they play online, all of these of this world things. And then we're not living in this place of understanding who we are. So I want to play this piece as we wrap up here today by David Icke. Oh, and just one real quick piece, and it's important to a couple pieces before I close here, before I jump into that. It was a piece of news that just came in. Apparently, Netanyahu has been diagnosed with a hernia, and is in spite of that, he's gone into the hospital. Now, this doesn't exactly correlate because apparently he had a hernia back in 2013. All I would say is watch Netanyahu. I think he's going to be like Austin. You're suddenly going to notice some physical differences in him. He probably won't look quite the same when he comes out of the hospital. That's just one of those things. And for those of you worshiping the royalty and wondering about Kate Middleton, in spite of the media's promises, she did not show up over Easter or Resurrection weekend. She was invisible. So just a thought. But anyway, I want to end with this piece by David Icke. And I'm going to close with my comments on it. Very interesting perspective here to take. I would like you to listen when he says, when he uses the word infinite, I would like you to replace that with our Father and the eyes of Christ, and then we'll discuss it afterwards. Take a listen.
Let's take a month, and everywhere you go, everything you do, do it from the perspective that you are infinite awareness, all-knowingness, having an experience. Doesn't mean you don't do the things that humans do, but you do it from the perspective, this is not me. This is an experience that me is having. Do it for a month. It'll change your life. Yeah. You'll never be the same again. Yeah. If you do it and consciously do it, you'll never be the same again. Because you'll realize that there are, because of the insights you get, because of the intuitive knowings that you get, by the way you feel, you will know that the you thought you were is not who you really are. Just a month. But it's not about every now and again. It's everything you do. I am infinite awareness. Looking into this world, having an experience. The experience is not me. This is me. And it will change your life.
I think that is a fantastic perspective. I'm going to challenge on this one day, this first day of April, whoever is willing to take that on. I'm making a conscious effort to do this, to literally in everything that I do, everything, to be looking at this through how would the eyes of God see this? What is the experience that God wants me to have? And how would Jesus walk in this moment? And I don't mean just on occasional things. I mean in everything. And I would encourage you to take this challenge, because I truly believe that as we do this, as they say, behaviors change after 30 days. And I think that what ends up happening is, and will end up happening, is it will open our eyes to the greatness of the world and who we are, and not who we think we are. This world has focused us. And again, I go back to those two worlds. Where is the fault line on this? Where is that defining line? And the defining line is that when we see ourselves as flesh, we live in the flesh. It's one of the greatest tricks that has ever been laid upon humanity. But when we see ourselves as the children of the Most High, and we live through that, then we see ourselves here as a temporal experience to gain the experience to build us to something in the infinite, which is truly what we are. We will become in infinity. We are accountable for all things. When we take that step, and we realize that we are part of something greater, that we are literally living through the body of Christ, that in every moment we're looking at ourselves and saying, how would God want us to see this? How would Jesus walk in this moment? Whether it's a temptation, whether it's a desire to buy something, whether it's a meal that you make, whether it's a walk you make outside, whether it's a moment you stand in the sun, whether it's a walk you make in the rain, whether it's a moment you feel compelled to have to get in the car and go do an errand, whether it's a repair you do on the vehicle, whatever that is. And there's an infinite number of things in our day. But don't take any moment for granted, but rather take every moment and do this diligently for the next 30 days, including sleep, to put before ourselves, how would God's eyes see this moment? How would he want us to see? And what would Jesus do? And if we frame that moment truly dedicated in everything in our day, we are moving ourselves to a higher level of accountability and ultimately awareness in the body of Christ. That's the challenge, putting it out there today for anybody that's willing to take it. I think it's pretty amazing. And yep, David Icke, I'll give him credit on that one. Not bad, David. For all the other things you say sometimes, I think you're a bit loon, but this is a good one, and I agree. Patriots, let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this moment. And we want to open our prayers today for two people in particular this morning. We want to pray for Pete Chambers and Joe and Pete's horse, all of which are down on the border and doing things right now that can't be publicly disclosed but have high levels of risk to them. And so, Father, we just want to pray for Pete and his team. We just lift them up in prayers and just ask that please guide them. Give them the protection of war angels of the mightiest kind. If there are special forces war angels, we just ask that they be deployed and dispatched to surround them and be with them. The things that are going on down there in the border are truly horrific. And there's very few who have answered the call to stand into that gap. And even fewer that not only answer the call, but are abiding in and obedient to you in all things. That's Pete. A warrior who has given his heart to kingdom, a warrior that's given his heart to you, and who is leading men in a new fight that goes unrecognized, a fight that is silent, a war that is significant. And at the center of all of this is always the same thing, the protection of the little ones. Father, we just ask for a blessing over Pete, a protection over his sidekick Joe, and over his horse. And we just ask that that team that he has is equally blessed and protected, and that the mightiest of war angels can now surround them. And that any ill that falls on them, may they experience the power of Holy Spirit in healing and restoration. And may the hearts of those that know continue to pour their prayers into them to reinforce their actions and what they do, to give them greater strength, to give them greater effectiveness, and to continue to have us pray into the fact of destroying the principalities that rule that border, which we will. Father, we also pray today for Corey Terry and Yopar, his wife, and Yopar's father in Romania. Just ask if we can lift him up. We pray for his healing and restoration. We pray for the revitalization of his body, mind, soul, and spirit. And we pray into his heart. We pray the love of Jesus into his heart. And we just truly want to take this moment to honor the fact that he's recently accepted Christ into his heart, just shortly after Bard's Fest. And we just pray into that moment. And say, Father, just lift him up now. Lift this time up. It's a hard time and as he's getting older and having more medical issues to deal with. We just pray into his restoration, his strength, his vitality, and truly a full recovery of his body in the fullest capacity so that the time that he has remaining here can be one without pain, can be one with joy, and truly one that he walks truly in the appreciation and understanding of the glory of our King Jesus. And Father, we just close today with a prayer of the challenge. We just pray that we take this moment in this next 30 days to literally now step into a challenge of a great challenge, that every breath we take, every action we do in our days, we live in the conscience and presence of you, that we ask ourselves and seek from you all things to understand, how would you want us to see this moment? How would Jesus be in this moment? And to open ourselves up to being not of this world, but being children of the Most High, to walk truly in this presence, to look at this as an experience that we're in, and to hold ourselves accountable to a higher standard. Let this walk be one of amazing insights into who we are and in a deeper relationship with you. And we pray that blessing upon anybody that seeks this challenge, a commitment, a dedication in faith of such a magnitude that now everything that we do, we are consciously in the presence and asking the question, Father, how do you want us to see this event? And Jesus, how would you do what we're doing right now? And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Encourage you to take the challenge. I think it's worthy. And I think that as we do that, I think that we will all gain immensely from it. Obviously, there can really be no downsides. All you're going to do is get closer with God, and that there's nothing but goodness in that. Patriots, I don't think there's going to be a problem with tonight's show. Tomorrow night, I don't think we're going to have a show tomorrow night, just so we have that up there. I'm going to begin my travels back east later today. I have a short trip today on this leg. I have a lot of things to wrap up on the ranch before I go. And then tomorrow is going to be a pretty long day. If I can work in a show, I will. Just as a heads up, we'll give an update tomorrow morning on where things are. And I'll try to keep shows as consistent as possible. Remember that we have the big event coming up on April 8th. It's going to begin 6th is in Flemingsburg at Mandolin Farms for prayer and worship. We've got got a number of people coming on Sunday, April 7th. We'll begin up in Ohio, and then we continue that through the 8th. Jim and Candy Cates are going to be there. You're going to, if those of you are going to be there, we're going to see Candy in the miracle of healing of healings, and it's going to be wonderful. So I would encourage you all to be there. And if not, remember, we will be live streaming it. It will be available online, and we will experience it together one way or another. So Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tonight for Bards FM. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty. Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. Push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, in God we trust. We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.